chapter 4, text number 31, page 230. This is probably one of the shortest verses in the Bhagavad Gita. Nayam loko asti agyasya kuto anya kuru sattama nayam loko asti agyasya kuto anya Guru Satamam. Word for word. Na, never. I am this. Loka, planet. Asti, there is. Ayagyasya, the one who performed no sacrifice. Buddha, where is? Anya, the other. Kuru Satam, the best of the Kurus. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The best of the Kuru dynasty, without sacrifice, one can never live happily on this planet or in this life. What then of the next? Please repeat. O best of the Kuru dynasty, without sacrifice, one can never live happily on this planet or in this life. What then of the next? Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Whatever form of material existence one is in, one is invariably ignorant of his real position. In other words, existence in the material world is due to the multiple reaction to our sinful lives. Ignorance is the cause of sinful life, and sinful life is the cause of one's dragging on the material existence. The human form of life is the only loophole by which one can get out of this entanglement. The Vedas, therefore, give us a chance for escape by pointing out the path of religion, economic comfort, regulated sense gratification, and last, the means to get out of the miserable condition entirely. The path of religion, or the different kinds of sacrifice recommended above, automatically solves our economic problems. By the performance of yajna, we can have enough food, enough milk, etc., even if there is a so-called increase of population. When the body is fully supplied, naturally the next stage satisfies the senses. The Vedas prescribe, therefore, sacred merit for regulated sense gratification. Thereby, one is gradually elevated to the platform of release from material bondage. The highest perfection of liberated life is associated with the Supreme Lord. Perfection is achieved by performance of sacrifice, as described above. Now, if a person is not inclined to perform yajna according to the Vedas, how can he expect to be a happy life, even in this body, what to speak of another body on another planet. There are different grades of material comforts in different heavenly planets. In all cases, there's immense happiness for persons engaged in different kinds of yajnas. But the highest kind of happiness a man can achieve is to be promoted to the spiritual planet by the practice of Krishna consciousness. A life of Krishna consciousness, therefore, is the solution to all the problems of material existence. Namo Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Vastaya Bhutale, Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Janamane, Namaste Saraswati Deve, Horvani Pacharni Navase Shunya Vari Paskachadi Stani. Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasi Gaura Bhaktivinoda, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Obeys the Kuru dynasty, without sacrifice, one can never live happily on this planet or in this life. What then of the next? So Krishna, this chapter is called Transcendental Knowledge. So in this last verses 25 to 33, talking about sacrifices, in this verse is summing up the result of performing sacrifice. So this idea that one can be happy in this life only by trying to enjoy the senses, sense gratification. It's like Arjuna wants to know why one is forced to act sinfully and it's lust alone. All of our sinful enemy. Here it says it's because of ignorance one creates karma, and because of ignorance that karma is carried to the next life. So we should not falsely think, most people think that life, that you only live once, and at the time of death, life is finished. This is a common belief about materialistic people. But this verse says that you can't be happy in this life or the next life. Because the soul, deino smenyata dehe, homaram yobanam jara, itadehan parapaptir, the soul is passing from boyhood to youth to old age, then into another. At the time of death, it is transmigrating to another body. Bhagavad Gita 15th chapter says, one in conditioned life accepts one body after another like the air carries aroma. Thus he accepts another material body. And when one accepts a material body, one accepts a different type of ear, eye, nose, tongue, sense, and touch, which are grouped about the mind. Thus he enjoys a particular set of sense objects. So whether you're in a human body or an animal body or insect body, bird body, you have different set of sense objects or senses which enjoy different differently in different ways. Like the hog likes to eat stool. If you give the hog halva, he say, no, I'd rather eat stool. But a human being, we prefer halva. But the hog has a body which is adapted for that purpose, for eating stool. Of course, you don't see that in Western countries, but in Vrindavan and small villages, small towns in India, you see hogs eating stool. And the children go to answer the call of nature. They have to have a stick to keep the hogs away. The hogs can't wait to get the nectar. So this is the position that the living entity is in. So it's ignorance, because there's no education in the modern institution. There's so many institutions, educational institutions, but Prabhupada said they were like slaughterhouses, because they only teach people how to develop some kind of technology to get a job, to make money, so they can remain here in the material world. There's no department of the soul in any university. And people don't understand what their identity is, or what the problems of life are, or how to get free from the clutches of the material energy. Durga is in charge. God Durga is in charge of the material energy. Durga means fort. The material world is like a fort and prison house where the living entity is imprisoned and has to remain in prison until he accepts a life of sacrifice. Here it says that there's a loophole in the human form of life. Loophole in this case means evading the rules. So there's an alternative. In the human form of life, you have an alternative. And that alternative is you can live your life trying to enjoy your senses, or you can take to Krishna consciousness and live a simple life with high thinking, instead of a high life with no thinking. Everyone in the material world, they're going in the wrong direction. If you get in a taxi to go to Delhi and the driver turns the wrong way, you'll never get to Delhi. So people are going in the wrong direction because they have nobody to guide them. In this chapter, verse 34 says, Tadvidi paripaptena paripasena sevaya upadekyanti kyagyanas yanastapa darshanaha. Is try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively, render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth. So this is inquired. Even in the material world, if you want to be a professional man, you have to take instruction from another professional man who's expert in the field. You can't simply read the book, medical books, and say, now I'm a doctor. But you have to go to the school and learn from the qualified doctors and get your degree, then you can become a doctor. But if people don't know, the spiritual life is the same. That you can Yet, in order to practice spiritual life, one must take instruction from a spiritual master, Ado Guru Ashraya, is the first principle given by Rupa Goswami in Nectar of Ocean, accepting the bona fide spiritual master. And Srila Prabhupada was the bona fide spiritual master who came to the West to preach Krishna consciousness and to give everyone a chance to escape, try to escape the bondage of material life. We're reading in the sixth canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, how Indra was fighting with Vritrasura, and Indra, even though he got the darshan of Lord Vishnu, he wanted to get the power so he could defeat this demon and stay in the material world. He could have asked for the benediction that he could get out of the material world, but he didn't do that. Vritrasura was in the body of a demon, but he was a devotee. And so he knew that he was going to get out of this material world when he left his body, because it was predestined that even though he was cursed to take the body of a demon, he was actually a devotee. And that being in a demon body facilitated his getting out of the material, going back to Godhead quickly. So sacrifice means that you can sacrifice, giving a gift or sacrificing an animal to a different demigod. But in Kali Yuga, the sacrifice is the Sankirtan Yajna, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu introduced 500 years ago. Says, Klo Doshe He Rajan Hastiye Eka Mahaguna Kirtan Eva Krishna Shah Mukta Sangam Parambarjit. Although Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults, there is still one good quality about this age, that simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one can be free from the bondage of, be free from material bondage and be promoted to the spiritual kingdom. Also, 11th canto says, Krishna Varnam Prasad Krishnam Sangupangam Svarasvaram Yanga Yagnai Sankirtan Prayer Yantihi Sumedashaha. In the age of Kali, intelligent persons perform congregational chanting to worship the incarnation of Godhead, who constantly sings the names of Krishna. Although his complexion is not blackish, he is Krishna himself. He is accompanied by his associates, servants, and confidential companions. So intelligence means to know the difference between spirit and matter and the control of both. People think they have intelligence, but material intelligence doesn't get one out of the material world. So if one wants to be happy, Krishna conscious movement is the way. If you read in the Krishna book, there's a discussion between Krishna and Rukmini. Rukmini was the first queen of Krishna in Dwarka. So before that story, Prabhupada says everybody in the material world is morose or unhappy. Even the jnanis, even the yogis who are trying to practice some kind of spiritual life, because they're lusty and still have material desires, they also cannot be happy. Or the happiness experienced by the jnanis and yogis is like the amount of water in the calf's footprint compared to the happiness of Krishna consciousness, which is like an ocean. Bhagavad Gita says, Yajnartha kamano yantra lokayam kama bandana tad asram kama kuntaya mukta sangam samachara. Work done as a sacrifice of Vishnu has to be performed. Otherwise, work causes bondage in this material world. Therefore, O son of Kunti, perform your prescribed duties for his satisfaction, and that way you will always remain free from bondage. So again, living entity, we're bound up in this material world. But the here Prabhupada says that there's so-called overpopulation. They say there's an overpopulation or an increase in population. But there's no problem, because there's so much vacant land all over the world. But because all the people are crowding into the big cities, it seems like there's overpopulation. But these necessities of life are there for everyone. The elephant eats 100 kilos or 100 pounds of grass every day, and the ant eats one piece of sugar. But by the laws of nature, every living entity is being supplied his quota. Shri Upanishad says that one should Ishabasham Idam Sarvam. One should only accept that which is his quota. And that way, one can go on living for 100 years and not have suffer a karmic reaction. So the quota has already been decided. And the quota for the tiger is to eat meat. And the quota for the human beings is to eat fruits and vegetables, grains and milk products, not meat. Krishna says, Patram puspam paloto yom yome bhakti priyachati. Food, flour, water, leaf, if it's offered me with devotion, I'll accept that. So Krishna doesn't accept meat. And people do Kali Puja and offer wine and meat to the goddess Kali. But she's also a devotee, and she doesn't accept that either. But some of her lesser beings may accept that. And they call it Kali Prasadam. But Vaishnavas, we don't take anything offered to demigods. We only offer food that's offered to Krishna. This is another type of sacrifice. We only eat food that's offered to Krishna. That's prasadam. Otherwise, it's an offense to eat any other offerings. But sometimes they offer the Mahaprasadam, they offer that to Lord Shiva, and then we can take that Lord Shiva's reverence, which becomes Mahaprasadam. Otherwise, we don't take anything which is not first offered to Krishna and offered to the agency of the spiritual master. So in this way, the necessities of life are there for everyone, all living entities, but because in this modern age they've manipulated Mother Nature in so many ways to increase the production of food, to increase everything in an unnatural way. There seems to be a scarcity. But if they simply produce things in a natural way, there would not be any scarcity. And also, these prophets says that you can be happy by performing sacrifice in this life and the next, and on this planet or another planet. So we know from Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, describes there's 14 planetary systems, 7 up and 7 down. And there's the upper planets and the middle planets and the lower planets. So this is another misconception. Modern scientists say there's no life on any other planet. And yesterday's verse was describing how one has to enter into Krishna's atmosphere, which means Goloka Vrindavan. So the scientists say they went to the moon and they said there was no atmosphere there. The atmosphere means the weather, like rain or wind or snow. But then they discovered when they saw the film of the astronauts landing on the moon that there was a flag was flying. That means there was a wind. They're saying there's no atmosphere, but they're saying the wind was there. And so many fallacies, this idea that they went to the moon, because it says that the sages, they go to the moon and live there for 10,000 years, drink soma ras. And Krishna says that I become the moon and supply the juice of life to all vegetables. So how many deserts, how many vegetables can you get from a desert? That's not very many. So the misconception, it's another misconception that teaching the schools that there's no life on any other planet. Because we have limited senses and limited brain power and limit everything is limited. So they have imperfect senses, they're illusion, they have a propensity to cheat, and they make mistakes. This is the what the human being is subject to, these four faults. So they can make a telescope to look into the sky to see what is up there, but they make that with their imperfect senses. So they can only see a limited distance, a limited amount, not really see what's really happening. But we know from Srimad Bhagavatam that there's life on every single planet. And according to one's karma, or one's activity in this life, then you get, you will go to one of the other planets. If you perform pious activities, you're pious in this life, then you can go to the heavenly planets. But if you commit sinful activities, then you have to go to the hellish planets and get punished by Yamaraj and then take another body. It says in Nibhikramana Shosti Payavayo Navidite that in this process there's no loss of diminution and one is protected from the greatest type of fear. So the greatest type of fear in the human form of life is that I have to go back down into the lower species. There's 8,400,000 species, 900,000 in the water, 2 million in plants and trees, 1,100,000 insects and reptiles, 1 million birds, 3 million beasts, and 400,000 human beings. Of those 400,000 human beings, only a small percentage are civilized human beings. Whereas a civilized human being is one who accepts a bona fide spiritual master, or Acharya. When Krishna and Balaram were 11 years old, they went to Mathura and received second initiation, Brahman Diksha, from Gargacharya, or Garga Muni, who was the Acharya of the Yadu dynasty. This word acharya means one who teaches it by example. So any spiritual master who's following strictly the instructions of his spiritual master and making plans for spreading Krishna consciousness can be considered an acharya. And the acharya doesn't say one thing and do something else. So the it was a common practice in India, I don't know if it's still happening, but that someone would come to the family and give this Brahmacharya Upanaya, give the Gayatri Mantra, the family guru, and go away, but he wouldn't give any other instructions. And so people may have gotten that Gayatri Mantra and may think they're on a spiritual path, but because the guru wasn't an acharya, he was just a show, or just to get some remuneration, get some money, just a something they would do. So but the guru is supposed to tell the disciple how to live his life. Here it says that a life in Krishna consciousness is therefore the solution to all the problems of material existence. So when a devotee comes to Krishna consciousness, takes a Krishna consciousness, after 6 months to 1 year practicing Krishna consciousness, then a person can choose whether he wants to take initiation. At the time of initiation, the initiation is in front of the fire, in front of the deities, in front of the spiritual master, and no one makes a vow to chant 16 rounds of the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And also, the following four principles: no meeting, no gambling, no intoxication, and no illicit sex. So this is the something that's not there in any other religions in the world. They don't tell their followers what they should or should not do. Even in the church, the Catholic Church has the biggest slaughterhouses in the world. One lady was asking a Buddhist monk, "Are you veg or non-veg?" And the monk said, "Well, it doesn't make any difference." So we don't say that. We say no meat eating, no meat, fish, or eggs, because these are abominable things, and these things cause suffering, because there's so many slaughterhouses killing millions of cows every year. The karma of the planet is becoming increasing more and more, and that way there has to be wars all over the world, because people want to satisfy their senses and they don't think they're responsible. Because they can go in a supermarket, go in a store and buy meat, and they don't think they're responsible for killing an animal. Because there's a demand for this, people are buying it and eating meat, then everyone is responsible. The person who kills the orders to kill to be killed, the person that kills the cow, the person that ships the cow, the person that packs it, the person that sells it, everybody is implicated in the karmic reaction for killing an animal. And said, for every hair on the body, if someone kills a cow, he has to take birth for every single hair on the body of the cow. But Guru Krishna Prasad Pai Bhakti Lata Beach, at the time of initiation, when one receives the seed of devotional service, the guru accepts some portion of the karma of the disciple. And at the time of initiation, then we're not, if we're following strictly, then we're not incurring any new karma. But still, the karma from our previous life is still there, or that's why devotees get sick, devotees have accidents, so many things happen. It's like when you turn off the fan, it continues to spin for some time. But we're not creating new karma. Because as you sow, so you'll reap. So if you're creating new karma, then you have to remain in the material world and suffer and enjoy according to your karma. But if you become a devotee and spend your life in Krishna consciousness, then there's no, you're not creating any new karma. So that at the end of life, you can go to the spiritual world, or you at least you have a spiritual bank account. And that spiritual bank account, if you put one, if you perform 10% Krishna consciousness in this life, that goes with the soul to the next life, and you will take up a 10% or 20% in his next life Krishna consciousness until he becomes fully Krishna conscious. And Krishna says, guarantees that Sarvadharma Krishna Mamekam Saranam Raja Hamtam Sarvapadmayo Moksha Shami Mahasuchaha. He says, just surrender unto me and I will protect you from all sinful reactions. So you have to, someone has to give up all different kinds of dharmas or religious practices and surrender to Krishna. If one's a surrendered soul, then there's no more reaction to the sinful life. This is the way. So this verse is talking about being happy on this planet. So everybody in the material world is looking for happiness, but they can't find it. Whatever happiness they think they're getting, it's just a moment's relief from the suffering. And we see this, people who are the most famous, have the most money, have everything, they end up committing suicide. But they're not, because they're not happy. But they have everything that everybody wants, but still, that doesn't make you happy. But devotees are living simple life, brahmachari, grihasthas, vanaprasthas, sannyasis. We live simple lives, and we're happy. Especially, we're happy to rise early in the morning, come to Mangalarti, dance in the kirtan. Prabhupada said, if you don't feel like dancing, you should dance, and then you'll feel like dancing. And when you dance, you feel happy. So, this is an austerity, tapasya. We're performing tapasya, and we have to rise early in the morning, take a bath, come to Mangalarti. These are all the rules and regulations governing in following Vaidhi Bhakti. This is necessary so for purification. Otherwise, if we act whimsically, don't follow the rules and regulations, then we'll not be able to make advancement in Krishna consciousness. So it's very important. Here it says that when the body is fully supplied, naturally the next state satisfies the senses. Faith is prescribed, therefore, sacred merit for regulated sense gratification. So one may be a brahmachari. It's supposed to be a system from the age from 5 to 25. One would go to the gurukul, or the school of the spiritual master. Then at the age of 25, one can choose whether he wants to stay in the brahmachari ashram or enter the grihastha ashram. Krishna Balaram, they went to Sandapani Muni in Ujjain and practiced this brahmacharya life. Although Krishna and Balaram, they don't have to do anything the common, ordinary people do. But because they're playing the role of human beings, they acted like ordinary human beings, even though they're not. So they went to the house of the spiritual master, and they lived there and learned 64 arts in 64 days. In the morning, they would teach, the guru would teach them some art, and then by the evening time, they knew it perfectly. And Sandipani Muni knew that Krishna and Balaram were not ordinary boys. So after he instructed them, it is the duty of the disciple, after taking initiation, to give guru dakshin. That means to give some remuneration or some money to the guru and appreciation of the fact that he's accepted you as a disciple. But that guru dakshin is there's no limit to how much you can give the spiritual master. You can never repay the spiritual master for accepting you as a disciple. But Sandipani Muni knew Krishna and Balaram were different, so when Krishna and Balaram asked, what guru dakshin do you want, Sandipani Muni consulted his wife, and they said, well, our son was taken by the ocean. Can you bring back our dead son? So this was not a very difficult task for Krishna. So Krishna went to the ocean and called the sun god, the god of the ocean, to give back the sun. But he said, the sun is not with me. He may be with a demon who took the form of a conch shell. So Krishna dived in the ocean and killed this demon, but he didn't find the sun in the belly of the demon. But he took the conch shell. Then he went to Yamaraj, the boat of Yamaraj, and he asked Yamaraj to give back the dead son of his teacher, and then he brought back his teacher's dead son. That's the story in Krishna book, in many pastimes and stories. But here we're talking about different ashrams. When you get Brahmacharya ashram, then if one feels uncomfortable in the Brahmacharya ashram and thinks that I'll be more happy by entering the Grihastha ashram, then with the permission of his guru, he can enter into the Grihastha ashram. It's not a fall down for a brahmachari to take to the Grihastha ashram. But the Grihastha ashram doesn't mean one can have unlimited sex life. Even in the Grihastha ashram, sex life is restricted to once a month at the proper time to beget a Krishna conscious child and not otherwise. People may want to water down the philosophy and say that, well, I can have sex with my wife anytime because I can't control my senses, but it's okay. They say there's only three regulated principles. But that's not following strictly. So household life, Prabhupada says, advancement is very slow or next to nil. Because when you get into household life, you become entangled in so many different ways. And your mind is always disturbed. And when you have a wife, that means that you got two minds to deal with. And the wife is always never satisfied. Usually the wife is... Women are by nature have more things than men. So the wife has to be comfortable and has to have saris and has to have a nice house and has to have this and that, and it never ends what the demands are. But for Brahmachari, if a Brahmachari has to go somewhere, he can pack it back in 15-20 minutes. But a householder has to go somewhere or move to a new location, it takes 2 days. They have to rent a U-Haul truck, a big truck, to take all the paraphernalia with you. But this is the difference between Brahmacharya and Grihastha life. But then at the age of 50, one should take vanaprasth and finally sannyas, renounce the world, so that one will not have any attachments at the time of death and go back home, back to Godhead. So when people take to Krishna consciousness, it's not always appreciated by the family members. And in the West, especially in the West, even in India, the mother is worried that her son is not going to be able to make any money to support her. And most people think getting married and getting a job is what you're supposed to do. But and people don't understand, when you take to Krishna consciousness, it's not a fad or something we do for a few weeks, a few months, a few years. It's something we make a promise to do for our entire life. And Prabhupada said to his disciples, if they could practice Krishna consciousness, chant 16 rounds, follow the regulated principles for their whole life, that he would take them back to Godhead. He said he had the key to the back door. And even if they weren't fully Krishna conscious, he said he would still take them back to Godhead. But we know that Lord Chaitanya appeared 500 years ago. Namo Mahavanadaya Krishna Prempadayate Krishna Krishna Chaitanya Namo Guru Semana Maha. Lord Chaitanya was the most merciful incarnation, and he came to give freely what no other incarnation came to give, and that's Krishna Prema. So that's the goal of this chanting Hare Krishna. Once there was an assembly where the Haridas Ankur was invited to speak, and someone said that chanting the holy name, the benefit of chanting the holy name is you get liberation from the material world. Someone else said that the benefit of chanting the holy name, you get free from sinful activities. Well, these are both correct, but Haridas Thakur said these were side effects. The real fruit of chanting the holy name is to get prema, or love of God. So if we chant the holy name, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, without offense, without committing the 10 offenses, then we'll get the fruit, which is love of God. But in the immature stage, where we have to follow the rules and regulations, but it's like a green mango. A green mango will, if it's put in the sun or somewhere, or the monkeys won't get it, it'll eventually become a ripe mango. So we're practicing Krishna consciousness, and there may be many stumbling blocks and problems that come up, but we have to have determination, patience, and enthusiasm, and go on practicing Krishna consciousness, knowing that there's no other better process. There's nothing in the material world that's going to make you happy other than chanting Hare Krishna, preaching Krishna consciousness, and following strictly the four regulated principles, 64 angas of devotional service, and the five most important are to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, associate with devotees, worship the deities, chant Hare Krishna, and what's the last one? Live in a holy place, like Mathura or Vrindavan or Navadvip, Mayapur. But we do these five things with great care and attention, then we'll get the higher taste, Ramji Svarni Vartante. By practicing Krishna consciousness, you get a higher taste. Therefore, anything in the material world is considered lower taste. Yamunacharya was a king, but he became a great devotee. So he said, even as a devotee, whenever he thought about sex life, he would curl his lips and spit, probably that's spite or spit, in disgust. And Krishna, one gopi told another gopi, if you have any attraction to society, friendship, and love, then don't go see that boy Govinda, who's playing on the banks of the Yamuna at Vamsi Bhat. And in other words, if you still have material attachments, you will not get the desired result, which is Krishna Prema. So this is a process, a gradual process, Chaito Dharpana Marjanam, cleansing the heart of all the anarthas, so that we can actually develop our love for Krishna and not have to think about living happily on this planet or in the next life. We'll not have to take another birth and go through the cycle, repeated birth and death. Because material world, the Kailama Shaswatam, place of misery and suffering, where repeated birth and death go on. So even in scientists or modern civilization, making so many promises in ways that people can be happy, but you can't be happy by material arrangements. You can only be happy by taking the Krishna consciousness and dedicating your life to serving Guru and Krishna. In this way, make our human life successful. Anybody have any comments or questions? Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Antaraj Bhagavad Gita ki jai.